Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Dow gives thumbs up to Rupert Murdoch.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The board of Dow Jones said yes to Rupert Murdoch's takeover of the company, but the final decision on whether Murdoch's News Corp gets control of Dow rests with the Bancroft family. They control 64% of the company. The family will consider Murdoch's $5 billion offer at a meeting tomorrow. Well, the stock market said yes to some good earnings yesterday, and that helped to push the Dow above 14,000 for the first time. But it couldn't hold through the end of the day. We ended up 20 to 13,971, but it was the fourth straight record for the Dow. On the other hand, the S&P 500 slipped a bit to 1549. The NASDAQ rose 15 to 2712. Late yesterday, Bear Stearns said two of its hedge funds turned out to be worthless. These funds were heavily exposed to subprime mortgages, and that news has helped to send the Asian markets lower overnight. Stocks in Europe are down as well. Air quality in China is getting really bad. A new report today estimates 20 million Chinese will get a respiratory disease every year. And by 2020, air pollution will cause 600,000 premature deaths. Muir Dickey is a reporter with the Financial Times. He joins us now. Muir, how difficult will it be for the Chinese government to reverse the situation?
Well, essentially in China, I think we have two trends. One is that in a number of areas, the controls on pollution have actually improved. And it's not just rhetoric. But at the same time, we have an even stronger trend, which is the very rapid industrialization of China and also the proliferation of new forms of transport, such as private cars. The Chinese government essentially has made economic growth its overriding priority now for 20 years. And in doing so, it's unleashed very powerful forces. It's also the case that the Environmental Protection Agency in the government is much less powerful than other arms of the government.
How much of a public relations nightmare is this for the Chinese as they look to hosting the Olympic Games?
Well, it's clearly becoming something that they're worried about. But when it comes to the Olympics, I think people in Beijing are expecting a very special effort to make sure that during that short period of the Games, the air in Beijing is much clearer than it is normally in summer. And there is a widespread expectation that companies will be ordered to cut back or to cease production over that period, and cars will be taken off the roads and to improve the air for that moment.
Muir Dickey of the Financial Times, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org. By the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually and working for an energy-independent America. publictransportation.org. And by American Public Media's weekly program, Speaking of Faith. Starting July 19th, Krista Tippett explores the ethics of eating with author Barbara Kingsolver, speakingoffaith.org.
GlaxoSmithKline's second biggest selling drug, Avandia, is in trouble again. German researchers say the diabetic's medication doesn't work, and it could even be harmful, as Stephen Beard reports.
The German research is pretty damning. Dr. Bernd Richter of Heinrich Heine University in Dusseldorf found no evidence that Avandia brought any benefit to diabetes patients. On the other hand, he said, there was plenty of evidence of negative side effects, including weight gain and bone fractures, and more worryingly, an increased risk of heart attack.
We found that what is called edema, that is swelling in the ankles and in the lower limbs, which could be the first step towards heart failure, was approximately doubled.
His findings are a fresh embarrassment for Glaxo. A U.S. researcher came to similar conclusions about Avandia in May. Analysts then slashed their earnings forecasts and the Glaxo share price slumped. A Glaxo spokesman dismissed the German findings as inconclusive. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The cost of health care is an ever-increasing challenge, especially for folks with eating disorders. Conservative estimates put their number at 9 million in the U.S., and many of them and their families face real financial hardship. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
Sitting in her kitchen in Lafayette, California, Anne ticks off the only six foods her daughter ate when her anorexia was at its worst.
Diet soda, cantaloupe, egg substitute, salsa, celery, and sugar-free Jell-O. And even if you double the calories of what I was absorbing, that's only 300 calories a day, which obviously is not life-sustainable.
This was after her daughter met many times with a nutritionist, a psychologist, and a medical doctor. Anne, who asked that only her first name be used in the story to avoid problems for her daughter, says when her 19-year-old child began having heart trouble, their insurance company said it would only pay for a brief hospital visit.
We were very fortunate that we have equity in our home, but we had to take out an equity loan, $33,600. It turned out our daughter needed a five-week stay.
James Locke, a professor of psychiatry at Stanford, specializes in eating disorders. He says many families are forced to use money in retirement and college funds to cover residential treatment programs for anorexics and bulimics. These are 1 to 2 months and can cost $80,000. That's a big expense for a life-or-death disease that's little studied. Locke says most insurers demand proof of efficacy.
That is a reasonable argument on the one hand, and on the other hand, this is what we know and the best we can do for now. With every treatment that we do, we try and understand if it's going to be cost-effective or not.
There are people who get their stay in a residential program covered. Sam Menegit is the CEO and founder of the country's first eating disorder facility, the Renfrew Center. He says he created a unit to work with managed care companies, and now most of his clients get covered. But Menegit says health insurers must work to set realistic care standards.
Eating disorders are much more complex than most other psychiatric disorders, which can be treated with medication.
That's why he backs the mental health parity law now before Congress. It would require health insurers give equal benefits for mental and physical illness. Meanwhile, Anne got reimbursed and paid back her equity loan only after she hired a consumer advocate. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.